This week, as you know, Boston made history, electing its first woman and Asian American mayor. In her acceptance speech on Tuesday, Mayor-elect Michelle Wu didn't waste any time getting to what's next for Beantown.
And yes, Boston is ready to become a Green New Deal city.
They are pressing that same urgency around climate in Scotland right now, where world leaders have been meeting since last weekend at the UN's Climate Change Conference. Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey is heading there. Even as climate funding and the rest of the Democrats' Build Back Better agenda still hasn't passed here at home. Senator Markey joins us now on the line. Senator Markey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, great to be with you, Tiziana.
So, Senator, are the parties meeting the moment in Scotland right now?
I think that the United States, through Joe Biden, is able to credibly say that we are going to reduce greenhouse gases by 50% by the year 2030. And that is a promise we can keep and we will keep. And what is going to be in the Build Back Better plan is something that reflects what the goals were of the Green New Deal when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and I met just 3 years ago to begin the drafting of the Green New Deal that she and I would introduce. And I will tell you, I am proud of the fact that Michelle Wu, our new mayor, is going to use the Green New Deal as the model for how Boston will not just have a green monster over at Fenway Park, but the whole city will be one big green monster. And I am so proud of how we have embraced this jobs and justice and climate action.
Let's pick up on that. All right, let's pick up on that. So I love the green. I have not really aspired to being a monster city before, but I like the analogy. But as you know, Senator, and I want to stay global, and I want to come all the way back home.
Okay, sure.
But globally, as you know, a lot of angst that all of the players who need to be committed to the level of reductions in emissions, to changing energy policy, to changing investments, aren't there. And I understand. I've seen you write, boy, this is the one, right? We have to do it now. We have to reach a deal we need to reach this time. Can we, will we, at the UN Climate Conference?
Well, the United States has established a very high goal, 50% reductions by 2030. The EU is joining us in equally high goals. So that's a huge percentage of the total GDP of the world. Now, it is disappointing that China and Russia are not attending. We will need everyone ultimately. Many of the countries that are sitting out have a lot to lose, however, at the same time, if they are devastated by the climate crisis, which many of them will be. Ultimately, the U.S. has to provide leadership. These countries are still responding to 4 years of the Trump administration where the denier-in-chief sat in the Oval Office. And they are wondering, is the United States back? Are we willing to lead? And it's a testing period. That's why it's so important that Joe Biden is able to say the Congress will pass, and we're going to. I am absolutely confident of that. A $555 billion climate bill in the next few weeks.
So,
and that at the state and local levels, including the city of Boston through Michelle Wu's leadership, and at state level, we are continuing to increase our ambition. And with that, I think we're going to be putting China especially on its heels.
So you really wanted that passed, though, before the president left to go overseas, to start the tour, the G20 meeting, and now COP26. You wrote that it was important to show that America was back. And you've said America's got a lead. I imagine there's also got to be leverage. So what's the leverage if that still hangs in the balance here at home?
Well, that's why I am going to Glasgow with a number of other senators who lead on the climate issues. We're going to tell all of the world leaders who we're meeting with that this bill is going to pass, and it's going to pass soon. and it's going to be bold, and it's going to be dramatic in terms of the shift that we're going to be making. We're going to have a 10-year tax break for wind and solar, all electric vehicles, for new battery storage technologies, transmission technologies, that is going to be transformative. It will create millions of new jobs, yes, but it's also going to dramatically reduce greenhouse gases. And so from my perspective, we're going, just to let them know, what the president said is in fact going to happen, and that COP this year will stand for climate's our priority in the United States.
So let's talk.
I will be there for several days letting all leaders know that we will pass that legislation.
So let's talk about that. So some Democrats are now saying they expect that there could be a House vote on both the Build Back Better package and, you know, that smaller bipartisan infrastructure bill by tomorrow, midday. A lot of back and forth this week about whether there are the votes in the Senate to then bring it home. A lot of back and forth about whether paid family leave would be in it, the size of the bill, et cetera. Where does your optimism come from that it passes all the way through?
I actually have great confidence that our long negotiations with Joe Manchin will pay off. I am very confident that the conversations that will take place between Joe Manchin and Joe Biden over the next week or so will resolve the remaining issues. And that, especially with regard to the climate provisions, that they are going to largely stay intact. And if they do, then our promise of a 50% reduction in greenhouse gases by the year 2030 will, in fact, be credible to the rest of the world. And it's something that I know and I can understand as people are looking at this process as it's unfolded over the last 3 or 4 months, that they might be skeptical. But from the inside, I can tell you we've made a lot of progress, and I do believe that we will be able to pass both the Build Back Better bill and the infrastructure bill, and to get it done in the relatively near future.
Is it that one-on-one between the president of the United States and Senator Joe Manchin that gets it over the finish line? I mean, are we down to it is two people talking repeatedly until we get there?
Well, Joe Manchin is talking to other members of the House and Senate, but ultimately, yes, that will be what it will come down to. And yes, I do trust Joe Biden in that final conversation. Will we get everything we want or need? No. But the $550 billion for climate, I think it's a historic investment, and I think it's going to stay in the bill, even if other things might not stay exactly as they are right now.
So you just answered one half of the next question I would have asked you, which is what is most important for you to keep? Thank you for that. And then I will ask, what's the toughest loss in the pared down bill for you?
Well, honestly, I really did want free community college. You know, when I was growing up, the son of a milkman in Malden, grades 1 through 12 were sufficient to make me competitive with the school superintendent's son or daughter. Today, we're in a different world, and we're going to be building in free pre-K for age 3 and 4 year olds. But I wanted free community college as well, so that the kids who were at Roxbury Community College or Bunker Hill or other community colleges did not have that financial pressure on them because of the economic circumstances from which they are coming. And I really do believe that while 12 years of free education was sufficient in the 20th century, it won't be for the 21st. It has to be the additional 4 years of pre-K and community college. China already, for example, has free pre-K for their 3 and 4 year olds. So my opinion is we need to build in the community college piece. And what's not in this bill will become our agenda moving forward. And I will be running on that in the 2022 election, as will every other Democrat.
It's striking to me that we had a chance to ask your colleague, Senator Elizabeth Warren, that same question the last time we had her on air. She had the same answer. So, I mean, that really brings it home here to the Commonwealth. And I want to do that a little bit more. The last time you and I talked, I asked you about, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, what came home to Massachusetts. And you talked about the $8 billion potential in that bill. In the version that you believe is going to make it through and build back better, what comes home to Massachusetts?
Well, again, we will be passing the infrastructure bill. We will be getting that $8 billion in transportation money. We will be getting at least $500 million in broadband money for our state. There's a lot in the infrastructure bill that will just transform our infrastructure. In the reconciliation bill or the Build Back Better bill or the social policy bill, honestly, $555 billion in climate change, that's going to create a clean energy revolution. And so Boston or Massachusetts, which is already the capital in the biotech revolution, it's already up to Silicon Valley, the leader in the telecom tech, all the software companies. This is going to give us a chance to invent the future for clean energy. We don't have any oil or gas or coal in Massachusetts. So it's going to be hundreds, thousands of small companies that are going to be able to take advantage of those programs. And I have a climate bank, which I've been able to build into this legislation for about $25 billion. And that $25 billion is going to make it possible for Boston, for Chelsea, for Lawrence, for Brockton to apply for funding, very super low interest rates, for them to be able to build their own clean energy infrastructure, to be able to overhaul their public housing units to the highest possible energy efficiency levels. And it's going to unleash about $200 billion worth of private sector investment. Working with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I also have in this bill a civilian climate corps of $25 billion. And the civilian climate corps is going to be young people, mostly targeting environmental justice communities in our country. 50% of the workers have to come from those communities. 50% of the funding has to go there. And this civilian climate corps is going to have hundreds of thousands of young people who will be out there doing the work. And by the way, this climate corps is going to be 5 to 10 times bigger than the Peace Corps was in the 1960s and even today. So just to give you an idea of how big this proposal is that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and I have in the bill, and it will stay there.
So
most of all,
I mean, that is so promising for the state, the things that you're laying out. I mean, essentially the promise of the equivalent of a Route 128 corridor in clean energy and, you know, a city year on steroids for climate service. It makes me come back to how can you be, I mean, Senator, this has been in the works for so long. I know you know the whole country is anxious that that Congress is not able to get its business done. And I hear your optimism. I guess I'm just going to come back at you one more time. Is Congress functioning enough to deliver on these promises?
I truly, sincerely believe that we will get this over the finish line. And the target is Thanksgiving, so that we can all be grateful that this whole process is over. But once it is finished, once it's on Joe Biden's desk, it's going to unleash an investment strategy that is going to really make a huge difference in Massachusetts and across the country. And especially, I will say this, especially for environmental justice communities, but also communities that need free pre-K, that need childcare tax breaks, that need to know that there is going to be broadband at home for every child in Chelsea, in Brockton, in communities all across the Commonwealth. So I think once it happens, and especially the business community, they're going to see these opportunities. I addressed the Worcester Chamber of Commerce this morning, laying out all of the incredible entrepreneurial activities that are now going to be unleashed between these two bills that are $3 trillion in size. while also telling them how important it is to make sure that kids get the internet at home, that there is free pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds. So it has to be an integrated strategy that doesn't leave behind Black, brown, and immigrant children and families. But the totality of it is going to be something that supercharges economic growth in Massachusetts and across the country.
So you've started bringing it back to our cities and towns, our neighborhoods. Let's stay there. It's where we began, where we played that sound of Mayor-elect Michelle Wu in the city of Boston talking about a city's Green New Deal. What is the first thing that can change for Boston in your mind? And what do you have to do as a senator to help support it?
Well, number one, is to take these two bills that are going to pass and immediately be sitting down with the mayor so that she can, with her team, take advantage of all of these programs disproportionately. Inside of the legislation, for example, is a provision which Ayanna Pressley and I worked to include that is free fare for transit in Boston, so she can immediately begin to apply for the funding that will make it possible for her to be implementing the promises that she was making on that issue. But the same thing will be true for provision after provision in the legislation, including the $8 billion for transportation, transit, bridges, roads. And she spoke in her acceptance speech about a plan to build an 8-lane highway through the South End and what a mistake that was. And instead, we moved more towards the Orange Line. She said that in her, I worked when I was a young man on the project to block the 8-lane highway. And so I love her vision because it talks about moving to green transportation. Moving towards a whole new way of talking about how the city of Boston can, in fact, change our state, our country, and be a model for the world. And I believe it will get done because when it comes to climate change, the alternatives of doing nothing is not an option. And Michelle Wu is going to be a great leader, taking all the resources that we have and now moving it into action in the city of Boston.
All right, Massachusetts, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, good luck on your trip. And thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you.